Hello and welcome to your free therapy session. My name is Holly.
My name is Violet, and this is Therapy Hour.
Because everyone needs therapy.
But not everyone can afford it.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. We're broadcasting from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam speaking Musqueam peoples.
This week on Therapy Hour, we'll be talking about a topic that clearly is very meaningful to both of us, and that is, of course, therapy.
Well, it's about damn time, isn't it?
Yeah.
I know that we did a therapy friend episode, which I think was also something we both thought about, or we feel very close to. But I think, you know, we can make the assumption that we're both very big proponents of therapy, even though it's not always the most perfect situation for everyone. I think that all in all, I feel very strongly about therapy and finding or giving people the courage to actually go to therapy themselves.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's kind of in our slogan, right? Of like, everyone needs to go to therapy, but not everyone can afford it.
Yeah. Well, and it is very expensive and it's not accessible to many people. But I think with the people that do have the privilege to go to therapy, even sometimes then, I think a lot of people do struggle. And a lot of what I do try to tell people, and I think what so many people do forget when going to therapy, is that it's literally a service that's supposed to be specialized to you, your thoughts, your needs. Everything about it is supposed to be for you. And I always tend to try, when people start telling me like, oh, I think I'm going to go start going to therapy, I always try to remind them that you're allowed to shop around for therapists. I know that it's difficult because obviously you only really get one free trial with them. But it is really important to see and like ask a lot of questions to your like, you know, future therapist, because that person, you need to connect with them and you need to know that their practices are what you want.
Right, exactly. I like what you said about like, this is a service for you. And I think a lot of people have a lot of preconceived notions about what therapy is and what therapy should be. And therefore going into it, they think they need to fit that mold rather than having therapy fit a mold that actually is shaped around them.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think it is important too what you said about shopping around for your therapist, because sometimes that is the most frustrating part, and you really do need to find a therapist that is compatible with you and that can look a lot of different ways. But that is such a vital part, and it's a part that I struggle with as well, because I think I, in my experience, haven't always known on the first session, maybe it's the third, maybe it's the fifth, maybe it's the 10th, whether or not that therapist is actually right for me. And by the 10th session, like, you've invested a lot of time into this person and probably money too. And so it feels like you could be sacrificing a lot if the first therapist that you walk into the office of is not the correct one.
And I try to go into now with therapy, I really try to go in with questions and doing my research on them, because I find that you do only get 30 minutes, and that 30 minutes can be really, you know, promising. You can sit down with someone and be feeling like, oh, you know, we have a good vibe going, I like the way that you talk, I like, you know, the things you're asking me. But that's also a time for you, and your therapist or your prospective therapist should be open to those questions as well. Do you have some things that when you go into therapy or when you've started seeing a therapist that you're looking for?
I definitely prefer my therapist to be on the younger side. Like, I would say below 40 is like a good age range for me. Just for that kind of like relatability aspect. And also, I prefer a woman. Always. I've actually only ever seen like women therapists before. And that is just how I'm most comfortable. And then there are certain like specialization areas that I like look for in therapists as well, or will ask. But generally, I've just been referred to therapists for the most part from friends. And sometimes that's worked out for me and sometimes it hasn't. But I kind of like that process. Like, obviously, not all of my friends I'd want to go to the same therapist as. Like, I think like, not that I'm talking about you all the time in therapy, but you do come up in terms of like being a big support system for me. And I think,
and how much you hate me.
And how much, you know, I just despise your guts.
Right. No, I know.
But when I'm not talking about that, I just feel like there's certain, like a certain amount of separation that I would want to have from the friend who's referring me to that person. And I think I've had that in the past, which has been good.
We're close. I don't think we need to be close enough that we're seeing the same person.
Same therapist, yeah.
Which I think also in a way kind of shows that, I think in a way it is that we are so close that I don't think we need to be seeing the same person. I remember when we were talking about therapists, you looking for a new therapist, and I was like, well, I don't know if the one that I go to is actually taking clients or not. And you're like, I don't think I need to go to the same therapist.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, that's maybe one thing we don't have to share.
Well,
but I like that process of like the referral, because I actually get to hear firsthand from one of the clients, like what they like, maybe even what they don't like about the therapist.
Yeah.
And like you can read about someone's qualifications online, but it's a bit different actually hearing like a testimonial basically from someone that you know.
Yeah, someone you know and someone that you trust, and also maybe someone that you know kind of what their personality is and maybe even what they may be going to their therapist about. I think that it can be a really amazing, like it's kind of a once in a lifetime thing of like, oh, I can hear firsthand what you are saying and how this person is responding, and I can kind of see if that's going to work out for me or not.
Yeah. How about you? Do you have any specific, I feel like you know a lot about the practice of therapy.
Yeah.
So you'd be really well attuned to know like kind of what you want from sort of your therapist that you're going to see.
Yeah, I was going to say similarly younger. I would go even younger than below 40. I think that I tend to look for late 20s to mid 30s. Only because I've had a good amount of therapists who were older and I really struggled with them, especially for the certain things that I was going through. I remember having to explain to a therapist like what Instagram and Twitter was and like the ways in which I was using it, and I was like, I don't want to sit here.
This is a waste of time.
So younger therapists, female as well. I don't know. I think I could be open to a male therapist, but I think that it would have to be kind of out of necessity. I would think of it in a way that nobody else is available and now I must go to this man.
That's an interesting situation therapy-wise.
I don't know. You know, sometimes therapists are booked up. I would think that maybe if he like had all the other qualifications and if it was just that he was a man, I could see myself going to a male therapist. But I have never had one either. But I know actually quite a few women and femme people who do go to male therapists and they really enjoy it. I have the trust in them. They got certified.
Just not for me, I think, personally.
And then the other thing I was going to say too is that I now have decided that I will only see therapists of color. I have had plenty of white therapists in my past, and I think that I made the decision with my most recent therapist to seek out someone who was not white, because a lot of the issues that I was having was with like my racial identity, and that tends to come up a lot in therapy. So I tend to like someone who is not white even better if they're, you know, first gen immigrants or have some form of immigrant relationship in their family. But that's not always a necessity. I've just asked. I was very lucky with my last therapist that she also just had that connection. And yeah, just keeping things professional. I don't love the idea of texting a therapist or having therapists that say things. I'll talk about that later on. But keeping a semi-professional manner is really important to me. And then usually I go for therapists who are trauma-informed and have the specific qualifications or practice in the things I need. So reading up on where their practice comes from, what their experience is. And I think having a trauma-informed therapist is really important for me usually.
Yeah, I agree.
Is there specific things that you can think of that... Sorry. I got lost.
Oh. I think this is my question. My bad.
It's been a while. I'm sorry.
I'm a little rusty. I'm not going to lie. I've been away. Okay. Halle. We've gone over what you look for in a therapist. Clearly, you've had some experience with a few different therapists.
Yes.
I don't know why I said clearly. Like, you are very well adjusted and have great coping mechanisms.
Oh, I took it as a way of you clearly have issues. A lot of therapy.
I feel like that'd be a compliment. Like, wow, you like really know how to handle issues. And... Oh,
that's my prejudice coming yeah. in. Yeah, you know, my stigma.
Deconstruct that. But have you ever had a therapist you kind of touched on it with the unprofessionalism, but have you ever had a therapist that you either didn't like really connect with or like wasn't really the best experience?
Yeah, I think I would say most of my therapists I've had issues with in some capacity.
Sure.
And I think especially when I was younger, I didn't really know how to correct them. Mm-hmm. And that was the best thing I learned was with my most recent therapist. We always do check-ins at the end, and she always asks, like, what worked for you, what didn't, and all mm-hmm. that. I did have a therapist that I went to a few years ago for a very, like, specific reason. And I remember in our first or second session, I was bringing up this, like, situation that I had gone under. And just the way she responded was so casual. Mm. And I think maybe her approach was trying to be, like, a friend to me and kind of come down to my level, mm-hmm. but it just came off really inappropriate. Right. And the way she was reacting to things that I was heavily traumatized by mm-hmm. was just, she kind of said it so casually.
Oh man, that sucks.
Exactly. If not Jeez. In those words, then in different ways, being like, oh yeah, that sounds terrible. Like,
oh my God.
And I was sitting there like, okay, thank you. Mm. And we never talked about it afterwards. Mm. I think we talked about it for the first two sessions and she said that and I never brought it up yeah. again. And the one time that she did bring it up again in one of our last sessions, she had said, oh, so how's this other thing going for you? Like, how are you feeling about that? And I was like, well, still bad.
Yeah.
And then she was like, well,
bummer.
Bummer. And the terrible thing is that she actually did help me a lot in other realms of, mm. not terrible, but it was kind of this weird situation where she helped me a lot in areas that I actually didn't go to therapy for specifically. Mm. So that was really nice. And I still take a lot of what she's taught me mm-hmm. into consideration. And I still really value the time I had with her. But because of that interaction, that was when I started learning about like trauma-informed counseling and trauma-informed approaches mm-hmm. and realized that when you don't have someone that is trained and has experience in dealing with people with trauma and how to respond properly,
yeah.
it can kind of make or break a situation. And so I didn't love mm-hmm. that, yeah. to be very frank.
So fair.
But it was a learning experience.
Yeah.
I think it was good for me to understand yeah. that this was something that I needed. And like, even when we're talking about these qualifications, that's something I think about.
Yeah,
now.
That's exactly what I was going to say, where it's like, you know, I'm not glad that you had that experience. I mean, it seems like you took some things away from that therapy yeah. experience, but it did teach you, like, okay, I didn't even realize that there was a level of professionalism that I wanted with my therapist.
Yeah.
But now I've had this experience and I realized that this is how I want to be talked to. And it's interesting because I think maybe some other people going to therapy would actually love the, like, casual nature.
Yeah.
Like, kind of feels like your friend aspect of it. And so it's just one of those things where it's, like, an incompatibility.
Absolutely. And that's, again, why it's so important to realize at a certain point, like, if this person isn't doing it for you and they're not responding well to critiques that you're giving, yeah. then it's not...
You don't have to keep going to that no. person. I think that's one of the hardest things to kind of comes to terms with, of, like... Yeah. Should I, you know, I've put in all this work. Should I really just, like, go ahead and abandon this therapist? Although it's helpful to know that therapists can share notes with each other. So if
yes.
you are moving on to a different therapist, they can still have your notes.
Yeah.
But anyways, I think that is a hard process to go through, of like leaving one therapist, potentially seeking out another.
Yeah, having to put yourself in a whole, like, you have to relive this, like, the first two sessions, yeah. opening everything up. But mm-hmm. I do think in the long run, and now I look back at that, and I'm like, I do wish that I would have seen that and said, okay, I need to go and see someone else.
I feel you.
What about you? Yeah. Do you have any bad therapy, bad therapy experiences?
Well, funnily enough, I went back to therapy in my second year of university because of you. I don't know if you know this.
No.
But
in second year?
Yeah.
What?
Well, not that actually maybe out of context sounds like it was all your fault. I had to go back to therapy. No. But like, because you were talking about like how much you loved therapy and how you think everyone should go and it's like so important and like you had gotten so much out of your experience and like it was just so amazing. You were like just like glowing about it. And I was going through a really difficult time because of a lot of things that were in the news at that time, and it was really kind of like bringing up a lot of like triggering stuff for me.
Yeah.
And so I was like, you know what, I should go back to therapy. Unfortunately,
sorry, go on.
Unfortunately, the therapist that I went to was not good. For me, it was one of the therapists that I've had that was referred to by like a distant friend. I think one of the things that didn't work for me were just like her techniques in general. Like, again, I don't know so much that was that she was a bad therapist, and maybe it just didn't work for me, but like, there was a time where she had me like speak to this plant as though it were these people in my life who have like inflicted a lot of pain and suffering onto me. And I just like couldn't do it. I just like couldn't get into that headspace of like, this plant is this person.
That
didn't really work for me. But more than that, it was just like this level of unprofessionalism that I saw with her that I think is generally problematic. Like, I don't think it was like, oh, it just doesn't work for me. Like, she would talk to me a lot about her issues, which at first I kind of thought I might have liked.
Yeah.
Because some of them were kind of relevant to some of the issues that I was talking about. And I was like, oh, okay, like, you see me, you can relate to me. Like, you know, because I think a lot of like issues that I was talking about revolved around like shame. And when someone's sitting across from you saying like, hey, I've been through that too.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, like I don't need to feel this shame and guilt. But then she started talking about issues that really I could not relate to at all. And I just started spending sessions like comforting her in a way that like I didn't really recognize at the time, but then looking back on it, I was like, wait, that was so messed up.
That is not what therapists are supposed to do.
Like, it completely turned around and the focus was on her, and it was really strange. And then on top of that, the friend that had referred me, one time she had a session right before my session, and my therapist had told her that I was going to be coming in for the next session and to wait behind to see me. And I like walked into the office and she was there, and I was like, oh, hello.
That is not what you're supposed to do.
Yeah. And I was like, is this like even allowed?
That's definitely malpractice. Yeah. You're not supposed to, because I have a therapist that has that the person, someone I know also goes to, and it was very obvious when I'd run into them at the office that we knew one another, and my therapist did not bring it up, didn't mention their name, didn't say anything. Like, you should not be doing that. Is heavy malpractice. Yeah. She could get sued for that.
Well, it made me really uncomfortable. That's all I know. And like, I don't even like running into people like on the bus when I'm on the way to therapy. Like, it's not social time.
No.
I'm going in there. I have a purpose. My life is falling apart. Like,
yeah.
I don't want to be like casually like socializing. It's just not what I want to do.
That's
so that was really terrible. And I had like just stopped going to her and kind of like ghosted her, which we could do a whole session or a whole episode on ghosting your therapist. But she reached out and just made sure I was okay. And I was like, yeah, I'm good. But I just don't think I need therapy right now.
Please don't talk
from
to me.
You. And then she ended up emailing me along with all her other clients for like a few months later, saying that she's actually stopping her practice altogether.
Well, good.
Which was very interesting. Yeah, probably for the best.
That's awful. Yeah. I'm so sorry that that happened after you were so well inspired. I know.
I was all fired up from your the speeches that you were giving.
I didn't actually know that. That's really sweet to know. I do think, you know, it's unfortunate, again, like what we've been saying, I think that some, you know, therapy sessions are not going to be perfect. No therapist is perfect. And it does really suck to have a therapist who is so wholly like unprofessional. And I hope that at least the most that you could get out of that is just to know at the very least, like you were able to say like, okay, I'm not going to this person anymore. Yeah. I don't have any need to keep going to this other person.
Yeah.
And
yeah, just, but like you said, like it took longer than it should have, you know?
Yeah. And now I guess it's hard because that space feels so intimate. And so especially just getting yourself to go to therapy and being in that space is takes so much work than to sit there and not like it. You're almost sitting there like, I'm spending so much money to be here. I'm doing so much of my own emotional work to be here. Now I have to like either give up, quote unquote, or just like try to go find somebody else. Like it feels like a very laborious task. So I,
All of that being said, has there been a more positive experience that you've had with therapy that you'd be able to share with us?
Oh yeah. I've had amazing times in therapy. As you've just said, I rave about therapy quite often. And I'm pretty sure that the therapist that I was raving about to you is the same one I'm going to talk about. But she was a therapist I had after my first year of university when I was really struggling with a lot of social anxiety and a lot of just like family problems. And she was so helpful in so many ways. I didn't even have that many sessions with her. I think I just did it in one summer. And she just made me feel so validated in a way that I had, because I'd had, I think, one or two therapists before her when I was younger, and I didn't love it. And then I had gone to her again on my own volition. I said that I wanted to go back to therapy. And just the way that she spoke to me and the way that she gave advice and how she brought me through all these interactions and these experiences I was having. She did do, so she did a type of therapy called cognitive behavioral therapy, which is a very classic type of therapy, which is kind of, it assesses your emotions and you are supposed to like think about what your emotions and thoughts are and how that affects your actions. It's very much like talk therapy with some homework and trying to improve on these certain skills. It's not for everyone. I can't say that I always jive with it very much, but the way that she helped me, especially understanding like anxiety, social anxiety, interacting with people, I mean, all of my socializing, my confidence genuinely comes from her. Like I have so much love for that therapist.
I feel like you've mentioned that a few times on the show about this really big kind of barrier that you were facing, that like therapy was a huge thing to help and like really was a reason why you were able to get over that hurdle.
I don't know where I would have been if I didn't decide to go to therapy that summer, because it was almost, it was already kind of a last minute decision, and it was probably one of the best decisions I ever made. So I have a lot of love for that therapist. My heart goes out to her. That's I hope she's doing well. I haven't spoken to her in a while. What about you? Do you have any fun, positive experiences with therapy?
Oh, definitely.
I sure hope so.
I think that I've like definitely in the grand scheme of things really lucked out with therapists and had a lot of positive experiences. It's funny that you were just saying at the end there about, I really hope she's doing well. Like, I totally feel the same way. Like, I will think back to like, especially one of my, the first like real therapist that I saw in high school, who was just so amazing and like really there for me in a really challenging time. And I actually did email her like a few years ago, I think, just to like let her know where I was at, ask how she was doing. And I do think about her from time to time. And I'm like, wow, you really changed my life. Love you, girly.
Love you, girly.
So she was great, but I would say my current therapist is one that also really stands out as just like so amazing. She's super like qualified. Like I was really impressed with all of her qualifications. She's like the pinnacle of professional, like has very firm boundaries about like not responding to emails if it's not about scheduling, but I can send her emails with like, you know, things that we've worked on or whatever.
Yeah.
And we can talk about it in our session, but she won't respond over email, which honestly, I love that she like just sets that boundary right there.
Yeah.
And she, I went to her at a time when I was kind of calling around to different therapists mm-hmm. and trying to find someone who is going to like work well for me. And I think your therapist had recommended a few therapists to me that I ended up calling.
And she also, well, yes, go on.
Well, what were you going to say?
I was going to say that the therapist that you ended up, like this therapist you're talking to about, mm-hmm. you know her through
our mutual referral friend. Yeah, yeah.
Who I'm pretty sure, I might have gotten it wrong, but I'm pretty sure that my therapist referred that friend to this therapist.
Oh.
I think.
Wild.
I might not be right, but okay. I remember I've reached out to my therapist 3 separate times to get referrals for friends before.
Yeah, which is a great way to go about finding a therapist. Yeah. And you get different options. And what I did is I called these different people and just like chatted with them for a few like 10-15 minutes and got to know a little bit more about what they did, how they practiced. I talked to them a little bit about what I was looking for in therapy.
Yeah.
And got a good sense from them. But one of them had my mom's name, so I was like, no.
I don't want to do that.
And the other one I'd like mentioned, I'd like thrown out a few terms and they didn't know what those things meant.
Mm.
So I was like, maybe not. and then I had this friend who was talking about her therapist, whose office was super close to where I was living at the time. She seemed great. She was very expensive.
Yeah.
But I could also see kind of like her qualifications and understand why she was on the pricier side.
Yeah.
And so I thought I'd give it a chance. And she ended up being so wonderful.
Yeah.
Like, definitely in the top 2 therapists I've ever had. And like, I just don't know what else to say other than like, she's been great.
Wasn't that fantastic though when you do find, I feel like that feeling and revelation when you found a professional that mm-hmm. understands your needs, you love talking to them to the point that like I feel like for me when I really enjoy a therapist, I'm excited to go.
Yeah.
I'm excited. It's going to be hard and it's going to be sad, but mm-hmm. there will be times in that week or two where I'm not seeing them and something will happen and I put it in my brain of like, this is going to be okay because I'm going to be able to talk to this person.
Yeah.
And that feels really rewarding. And it must be so rewarding. I hope it's rewarding for them as well to know that they've gotten such a good impact on people.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take a quick break to listen to Help by the Beatles. Appropriately chosen. and then when we come back, we'll be taking a look into some of the submissions that we receive from all of you listeners about your therapy experiences, which I'm really excited to dive into. And we'll be right back. Not just anybody. Help! You know I need someone. Help! When I was younger, so much younger than today. Anybody's help in any way. But now these days are gone, I'm not so self-assured.
Now I find I've changed my mind and open up the doors. Help me if you can, I'm feeling down. And I do appreciate you being right. Seems to vanish in
It's been two weeks since we've done
like,
this together.
So not rusty at all. I don't know what you're talking about. You are listening to Therapy Hour on CITR 101.9 FM. We're getting meta and talking about therapy here on Therapy Hour.
Wow, so meta.
For our research segment this week, we asked all of you to be a little vulnerable and share your experiences with therapy with us. We asked you if you've ever gone to therapy, whether or not you had a positive or negative experience, what surprised you about it, and what you would like others to know about going to therapy. We got a lot of responses, so thank you everyone for being so vulnerable with us and sharing your experiences. Shall we just jump right into it?
Yes, I'm excited to hear these. I don't know what any of these say.
Yeah. Okay, first one is... I've had the opportunity to try therapy twice. The first experience turned me off a little bit. I was with a therapist whose listening/communication style made me feel unheard and was a little combative, ultimately walking away sadder each time. My latest go at it has been amazing, however. Finding the right person can be a hard journey, but one worth going on. Therapy will definitely change the course of my life for the better. It's a pretty positive outlook.
I know. It is just so frustrating to think, though, that, like, your first experience going into it is negative.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it already takes so much to go to therapy and then to get there and have it not be what you've expected and not even helping you over this, like, long period of time. Because maybe, you know, you need to set time to settle in and figure things out. But if it's continuously bad... And then that just makes, I could expect that that just makes you like not want to go back, especially as a first time therapy goer.
Oh, definitely. So. It can be so discouraging.
Yeah.
And to have that first therapist not only not be the right fit, but really be like kind of worsening what's going on with you. That's tough.
Yeah, combative. Yeah. That's awful. Mm-hmm.
So I really applaud this person for giving it another go. And I'm really glad that this second go around has been so much better.
Yeah.
Okay, the next person said, it took me seeing close to 10 therapists before I found one that was a good fit. With my previous therapist, I felt like I was doing more of the work and I wasn't being guided whatsoever. A good therapist can do wonders. A bad therapist can absolutely make you worse. I definitely have some horror stories. Find one that is willing to take the time to get to know you and your history.
Yeah.
That's good advice.
That is very good advice. 10 therapists?
That's a lot.
Holy.
Yeah.
I applaud this person for being so resilient. If I had 10 bad therapists, I would just be like, okay, well, maybe therapy's
not for me.
Maybe therapy isn't as good as what everyone's saying.
Yeah.
I'm so interested to know more about like how this person went through the 10 and like actively kept looking.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah. And it's also, it's a bad situation to feel like you're doing most of the work, because the whole point is like you are doing a lot of the work, you know, but you are being guided by this professional who can kind of like help you along the way.
Yes.
And if you feel like you're not getting that from your therapist, that can be just like, why am I even here? I could just be doing this alone.
I know. Well, that's the thing, too, is that I feel like therapy is a lot of you. I think what people kind of don't consider with therapy is that a lot of the work is you doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the role of the therapist is, yes, to guide you and also to make it, maybe not like make it seem like you're not doing any of the work, but not make it a labor intensive process that like feels like it's on you. Like that therapist is there to listen and take in all the information, get to know your history, get to know your patterns, and be able to like take parts of that and bring it back in at the right times. That's what they're trained to do.
Yeah, and give you skills as well and strategies in order to like deal with those issues that you will be dealing with and unpacking in those sessions.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, the next person said, it's totally natural not to be very open with your therapist right off the bat. I think with like 99.9% of relationships, there's a period of a little bit of awkwardness getting to a point where you can actually feel comfortable sharing important things, and that's completely okay. Working through that uncomfortableness is not a bad thing.
Oh, yeah. I think that people do forget also that this is a stranger. You do have to get to know them.
Yeah.
I find that now when I go into therapy, I walk in and I'm like, so here's this, and this.
Yeah.
This other bad thing. I need to work on all of these things. Mm-hmm. Plus, I'm sad today. I have no shame around my therapist, but I do remember the first time going to therapy, which I think I was somewhat young. I think I was probably 14 or something like that. And I thought it was so weird. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what am I supposed to say to this person? Yeah. They're going to think I'm so weird. And I think that the way that's always been proven wrong is that I do say something a little bit more intimate or a little bit more, you know, deeper beneath the layers, and they respond well.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh,
yeah.
So I can trust you.
Yeah. No, I completely relate to what you were saying of like, I feel like right now in my life, like this last therapist that I'm like currently going to, I walked in the first session and like she was like pretty like timid about like getting into things. Like she didn't want to push me too quickly. And I was like, no, I don't care. Here is everything. Like, let's just get it out of the way first session because we need to do that. And then it's been great ever since. But I think what this person is getting at is definitely like a pretty universally experienced thing as well.
Oh yeah.
Of like, maybe it's a bit awkward, you still have, even though you know that you're like paying this person to sit here and be in this session with you still have those like internalized social cues of like,
yeah,
for the most part you wouldn't like show up to a party and like immediately like go and spill all of your secrets and your trauma and stuff on this person.
I've been going to parties wrong. I thought that's what you're supposed to do.
Well, I guess that is a way that you could live your life. But, I mean, I guess I should say I don't do that.
Yes.
And so, like, I think unlearning, like, a little bit of those, like, social dynamics so that you can push past and just, like lean into the dynamics of therapy.
I think also for people that I've definitely heard of friends of mine saying when they go to therapy, they're not used to talking so much.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also something you can talk to your therapist about, just a quick little anecdote of that. I have my therapist will always say stuff of like, we can like sit in some silence if you want that. And I don't want that. But there were definitely people who may want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not awkward because this is not a real quote-unquote social interaction.
Mm-hmm.
This is a place where you are supposed to be diving deep into you know, yourself and your life.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it takes a little practice. You need to exercise that muscle, especially when like if you're only doing it once a week or once every 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
It feels weird that your entire life is these, you know, very set out interactions, and then you have to walk into this office and everything is
rules
out the door
off. Yeah, like it feels weird for me to like be just talking about myself for like 50 minutes and not be asking the other person like, hey, how are you, you know, like let's get into your stuff as well.
I know sometimes I'll tell I think one time I told my therapist, I'm sorry that I'm crying too much.
Oh yeah.
And she was like, yeah, I mean, that's what, you're okay to do that. And I was like, really? Is this bothering you? I can stop.
I still get the urge to cry. Or I mean, to cry. Well, I do get that urge to apologize for crying in therapy, but I always make myself not do that.
That's a great practice.
Yeah. I try and get out of that habit. Okay, the next person said, I went to therapy when I was a student at university. I always had mental health issues, but I ignored it. When I started living alone, I was overwhelmed with anxiety, and I finally decided to seek help at the student health center. Talking to a professional really helped me understand that I shouldn't have ignored it for so long, and the meds I was prescribed helped me clear my mind. I took meds for about 2 years before I finally was ready to stop using them. I've been managing to stay afloat for about 3 years now. While it does get bad during stressful times, like during my military service, I feel like therapy has made me into a better person. I would say if you're able to access mental health care, it doesn't hurt to seek help. I was convinced that my anxiety and depression was just something that everyone felt. Talking to a therapist put me on a path to help me heal. Sorry.
That's okay. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I think that that is something that I hear so often, especially, and something that I think a lot about even when I'm out of therapy, where it almost feels like a pride thing to go and seek help, and you're like, oh, well, maybe this is just like the way I have to do things. Like,
right.
Life is just like this. Mm-hmm. I have to deal with it. And maybe life is just like that. But then you also, again, if you have the privilege and the money and the, you know, healthcare that you can go, then I always say to people, like, well, what does it hurt then?
Mm-hmm.
You get an hour of talking about yourself and talking about the things that are bothering you.
Right.
And maybe that could help you.
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of people are in the same position as this person where, you know, it took them a very long time. And then the minute they start doing it, and, you know, whether that is that they're being prescribed medication or not, and even if it's just talking to someone, feeling this like weight lifted of, oh, I need to be thinking about this. And this isn't just like a normal thing that everyone's going through.
Yeah.
It's a thing that I'm going through and I want to address. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's some of the biggest realizations that a lot of people have in therapy, where they realize this isn't quote unquote normal, or I shouldn't have had to go through this, or this wasn't the way I should have been treated.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it does take going to therapy to have those realizations. And then when you have it, you're with a trained professional who can get you the help you need, whether that is getting medication for mental health issues or, you know, some other route that you need to take.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Okay, the next person said, I found therapy very helpful. Being a student, I luckily had $1,500 of benefits to draw from, which by the end of the school year allowed me to attend twice a month. It took me nearly 6 months to work up the courage and also just to actually find a counselor that felt like a good fit. It was exhausting and discouraging. One counselor I met with tried to sign off my problems as ADHD within the first 15-minute consultation without even hearing much of my reasons for seeking help. But once I found the right counselor, it felt like I had a friend of the heart and a friend of the mind, someone there to help me work through what I was unable to open up to others about. Their knowledge shed light on a lot, much more than I could have ever expected of a friend, in parentheses, unless maybe that friend was a counselor, LOL.
Oh, I love that little line.
Mm.
What is it? I had a friend of the heart and a friend of the mind.
Mm-hmm.
That was lovely.
That's sweet.
I think that this sheds light. I think kind of what the pattern that I'm seeing here, and maybe what listeners at home are seeing as well, is that there are a lot of untrained or poorly trained mental health professionals. And it is because we have a pretty lacking mental health care system in Canada and in the US. And it is really discouraging for me to hear. I follow this girl on TikTok who is in the midst of getting her licensing to become a therapist. And she talks a lot about how when she's in classes with her, you know, her other students and stuff like that, she is very nervous and very scared for the fact that these are the people that will be mental health care providers.
Mm-hmm.
And it is really discouraging to hear that these were these problems, like signing off my problems as ADHD within the first 15 minutes. It's like, well, maybe the problems are because of ADHD and maybe that needs to be addressed. That's very discouraging, but I'm glad that you found somebody that you're really connecting to. That's always so important.
Definitely. Okay, this next one is so interesting. They said, I went to therapy when I was around 15 because one of my friends was killed and my family thought it would be a good way to address my grief, even though I wasn't struggling too much in the aftermath. Since I was younger and not really sure I even needed therapy, I didn't really care who my therapist was, and overall, she wasn't horrible. She was very old, pretty nice, and we did a lot of art therapy, which was somewhat helpful. However, she was really, really weird. She kept accidentally calling me Maria and eventually told me it was because she thought I looked like Mary, the mother of Jesus, which is fun. Even after that, she kept slipping up and calling me Maria. My name is not even close to Maria. She one day was working at, or sorry, she also told me in my last session that she didn't think I'd ever needed therapy.
What?
Interesting. Also, one day I was working at Starbucks and she came in full-on hunting gear and started asking me how I was doing with my friend's death at the till. Honestly, that whole time was kind of surreal.
Oh my God. I'm so sorry for laughing, but that is a crazy
That's probably one of the craziest therapy experiences I've heard of.
I've never... Okay, obviously very unprofessional for this woman come to you in a public space.
That's one of the biggest things I've discussed with therapists where they lay it out of like, hey, if we ever run into each other like in the city or whatever, you can say hi to me if you want. I'm not going to say hi to you first.
Yeah.
Which I've always loved.
Yes.
This
is not what
just
you
just coming
do.
Up casually to the till in full hunting gear.
Why is she in hunting gear?
I can't even imagine my therapist in that situation.
I'm just imagining, because they said that she was old, right?
Yeah, very
old.
I'm
just imagining
and very
this
weird.
Really frail lady walking in what I presume to be hunting gear, which I think is like camouflage clothes. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, I see her with a rifle. That might not be true or not. I don't know where you were.
I also kind of was seeing her with like a like, you know, in some airports, they'll have like those soldiers with like guns.
Yes.
I'm like picturing like someone like gripping a gun like that.
And then just are coming up to the till.
In being, like, Starbucks.
So how is your
hey, Maria.
I wish I knew what this person's name was just to know like how atrocious this like misunderstanding of this person's name is. Also, okay, fine.
For your therapist to not get your name right as well.
And it's because you look like the
Mary.
Jesus'
mother.
Whoever this person is, I am going to talk about this to so many people. This is crazy.
You gave us a very good laugh. This I appreciate that.
Okay.
Thank you, Maria.
Also,
whoever
you
are.
I just want to add that you, when you went into it, you said that.
Oh
this
yeah,
was
I
very
didn't
funny.
Remember the start was about a friend being killed. I'm really sorry for that loss, and that isn't funny to
no,
me.
No, that's not
and
funny.
I just remembered the Maria part and the hunting gear, and that's why. But obviously, grief is not funny.
No.
So I'm sorry for the introduction. Okay. Next, moving on.
We're going to get canceled.
I know. We have such limited time. We got to go.
Okay.
I've gone to therapy for a few years and I've had both positive and negative experiences. I find my biggest hurdle is keeping a therapist for a long period of time and being open with them the whole time. Usually, I'm very open when first talking to a therapist, but as time continues, I begin to feel guilt for not getting better, not following through on my goals, etc. I then begin to lie about how I'm doing because I don't want to let my therapist down, which I know is kind of a dumb thought, but I can't really help it. It then leads to the therapy no longer being effective as I am no longer being honest. That feeling of guilt and disappointment in my life builds up until I eventually stop going to that therapist.
I really resonate with this. Yeah. I have lied to my therapist before about how I'm doing and not even in a situation where like my progress is being tracked in a way, because obviously you can go to a therapist for very specific issues that they are asked to track your progress. But I really understand this. And honestly, it is such a hurdle to jump because you have to like, I think you really then start having to address where you're at with being like this quote unquote like disappointment to others, especially like this stranger, practical stranger that is paid to help you.
Yeah.
And, you know, I do think that they're saying it really well of like it does eventually stop working and being effective because you're not being honest.
Yeah.
And I will say that at the very least, this person understands this and knows this about themselves. And I think at least in like the grand scheme of things, what someone that's going through this can do is that they can kind of bring that up at the forefront of therapy and like have those discussions as hard as they are.
Yeah.
Because I think if you let your therapist know, like, this is what I'm going through and this is what I've done in the past, just so you know, they probably have things. They probably know that this happens.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that's such a good solution that you just offered there of like, hey, I know that this is a pattern I've fallen into time and time again.
Yeah.
And then kind of have it be on the therapist to some extent to like push a little bit more of like, I'm really happy that you're doing better. Like, is this still working? Is this not going well? Like, you know, like just being aware of that pattern that you have and having a little bit of help to pull yourself out of that cycle.
Yeah. But I understand doing that. And totally. It's actually kind of nice to know that someone else does this, because I always used to think it was really weird that I did it. So if you feel that way, just know that I do that as well.
Yeah, because it's like I've had the thought before of like, I don't want to be disappointing my therapist. I want my therapist to think highly of me. Like these thoughts that are like objectively so irrational, but in my tiny little rat brain, I'm like, I want people to like me and I don't want to let anyone down.
No.
Okay, we have two more big ones. Okay. So I'm going to move on. This person said, I've gone to therapy since I was 9, but voluntarily and consistently only for the past 3 years. Wow. I hated it as a child because I didn't want to be there and I was going through many hard and heavy things. My current struggles are different, but still heavy. But because I elected to go to therapy myself, I'm not only enjoying it, but enjoying it more, but certainly getting way more out of it than I did when I was young. In my opinion, therapy is really only, or at least mostly, effective when the client wants to be there, which includes A, believing therapy is effective, B, being open to changing behaviors, mindsets, etc., to achieve their C, goal of creating a different life for themselves, be that, again, changing mindsets, extracting themselves from certain situations, so on and so forth. Finding a good therapist match, one whom you like and trust, is also a huge component of effective therapy, but the therapist hunt is so stressful and difficult, and I think this further dissuades people. So true, we've been talking a lot about that. Lastly, LOL, sorry. I think so many people would greatly benefit from therapy if they only truly believed it works. But this doubt, I think, often stems from a distrust in others. In parentheses, difficulty sharing personal troubles, ongoing struggles with vulnerability, stigma, the like. Not always, and there are definitely other reasons too, but I feel like those are the biggies. Anyways, sorry this is long. I could go on forever about this, but I'm very much looking forward to this potty episode. You're both superstars and oh so appreciated.
Aww.
Oh, thanks. Love you.
Love you. Well, I have lots to say about
this. There's a lot here.
I'm glad that this person did submit this, because this is what I was going to say at the end of this episode anyways, which is I think you're right. The biggest thing with therapy is that you have to want to go.
Yeah.
I have been a child that was forced into therapy. It was not effective for me. I did not like it. I did not get much out of it. I've heard a lot of other kids talk about being forced to go into therapy and having a bad time.
Yeah.
And as much as we want to, you know, say that therapy is great and talk about the benefits, it has a lot of stigma around it. It is not always comfortable, and it's honestly, and from my personal experience as well, it's not always right for someone at that time. I do think everyone should go to therapy. I do think everyone should have that experience, but I do think you also need to find the times to be going to therapy. I have had moments in my life where I have been struggling and I don't want to go to therapy because it's, I don't want to think about the things I'm going through. It's not the time for me to think about it. So it is only going to be effective when you are actively going in and like wanting to put in the work and wanting to think about these things, because other than that, like, you're just going and talking to someone and you're probably not going to be as open and you're probably not going to get out what you could be getting out in another scenario.
Definitely. And I've talked to people before who have said that they know, quote unquote, that they should go to therapy, but they don't want to go to therapy. And I may see the ways in which therapy would benefit them from objective standpoint. But like you said, if you don't actively want to go to therapy, you're not going to go into it with this mindset that will actually allow you to like grow and change and be shaped by this experience with therapy.
Absolutely.
And especially because, as we talked about so much in this episode, all the hurdles that come with going to therapy and finding the right therapist and all of these things can just make you resent it if you're not truly really wanting to go at that time.
Yeah, exactly.
And I hope that our show can like destigmatize it a little bit,
yeah,
and like encourage people who have maybe thought about it to like, I don't know, think about it more and consider it more, and, yeah, and consider the different aspects that it could like be helpful in their life.
Yeah, and I do genuinely see how the stigma is changing. Like, mm-hmm, I definitely even see that in the difference of when I talk to people who are older than me, mm-hmm, about therapy and the way that they think about it and the way that I know I think about it. Mm-hmm. And just being in a position now where when someone tells you that they're going to therapy, or when someone tells me they're going to therapy, I get super excited.
Yeah.
And I hope that is what many people are met with.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think things are like slowly starting to change.
Yeah.
But that all being said, like, there is this huge stigma that still sticks with it,
mm-hmm,
that we do have to be cognizant of. And also then further from that, knowing that that means that not everyone's, yeah, going to want to go, and that's fine.
Yeah.
It's okay if you don't feel like you can do that right,
totally,
now. I've been there.
You can just listen to Therapy Hour and then you're good.
Well, we give free therapy. This is what we're doing.
But not advice.
No.
Okay, last one. We're almost done. This person said, my first experience with therapy was when I was a teenager, probably at 14, and my family had several group sessions with a family counselor. I can't even remember why we went. I must have blocked it out. And we would go to White Spot after each session, and I would get a milkshake.
Hell yeah.
I love that. I also have little, like, yeah, therapy routines. I'll usually, like, go shop, like, thrifting or something off after, get myself a little treat.
I always get a coffee, like, a really nice sweet coffee beforehand, and then I'll always go get food afterwards.
Nice.
And I will usually, like, I'll get food that I've been, like, wanting to try.
Yeah.
Like, I remember getting one of those, like, Korean corn dogs, and I was had a really bad session,
uh-huh,
and I went and got this corn dog and sat in the park, and I was like, this, yeah, makes everything better.
Wait, what's that salad place that I love? Freshy? Yeah. That my therapist's office was really close to a Freshy, and
nice,
I'd always get this special salad that I love that I am never near a Freshy after. Okay, anyway, sorry to this person.
sorry to derail your very great and intimate thing that you wanted to tell us.
Okay, so they were saying, in my senior year, all of my pent-up, suppressed anger towards my dad surfaced, and I asked him if we could see a counselor together. He suggested one that he had seen before, and we went, and then they essentially gaslit me together. It was not swag. That would probably have been a really good time for me to start seeing a therapist on my own, but I think I had a belief that if you go to therapy, had a belief that you go to therapy when something is wrong. And I was pretty determined to believe that there was nothing wrong with me that I couldn't deal with on my own. This continued for years, even though I had multiple close friends suggest that I should maybe see a therapist. I did not want to because I didn't want to get into my childhood trauma. Instead, I just lived with the daily consequences of it until I did slowly work some things out for myself. I finally decided to seek therapy after the end of my first relationship, which was a short-lived disaster, because I knew that if I wanted to be in more intimate relationships, I was going to need someone to help me learn. And it's been generally a really positive experience.
I think that, you know, what this person is saying too about how there's this learned idea of therapy of you go when something's wrong, which is usually when people will decide to go, is so interesting, because in this like perfect world where therapy would be free and everyone could go,
mm-hmm,
I would love to see a world where people would go to therapists just when like they have this feeling of like wanting to talk to someone,
mm-hmm,
whether something good or bad actually happened to,
yeah,
them. Because what I've found in therapy, especially when I'm seeing a therapist long term and I have scheduled times with them,
mm-hmm,
I do usually end up going specifically because I want to deal with an issue. And then,
yeah,
there have been times I've walked into the office being like, oh, they'll ask like, how are you doing? I'm like, oh, I'm fine. Like,
mm-hmm,
everything's good.
Yeah.
Like, I'll talk a little bit about like the nice things that have happened to me in the last week. And sometimes that's great because you get to look at your progression,
yeah,
of the past like week or so.
Mm-hmm.
However, almost always during those sessions, 15-ish minutes in, I've started crying about something,
yeah,
else. And so there's this idea like you have to go in when something happened. But I think life in general is,
mm-hmm,
difficult,
mm-hmm,
and people have pasts and people have ongoing issues that you've probably just been running with,
yeah,
for however many years. And it would never hurt to,
mm-hmm,
go.
Yeah.
However, on that being said, I also think that in some ways having the mentality of you know, something did happen and now I finally do need to go talk to someone is kind of the perfect thing of what we were talking about in the previous submission, which is then you know you're ready to go.
Yeah, exactly.
So then you can actually set yourself up to saying, I'm going to go because I really want to fix this thing. And most likely, hopefully, you'll stay in for longer and you can deal with all the other things that maybe have just been boiling under the surface.
And it's such a good example of, you know, not being ready to go in relation to this one specific, you know, big issue in your life.
Yeah.
But then something happens and it's kind of like the last straw, or it's just like, okay, I really want to work through this this breakup or this very specific situation or a friendship breakup or, you know, this big fight I got into with my roommate. And then once you're there and then you work on that issue with that therapist and then you have a relationship with that therapist, and then maybe you do become a little bit more ready to unpack some of those larger issues that may exist in your life.
Exactly. We are out of time, but I do want to add one more thing in terms of what we're saying, which is I think, unfortunately, educational institutions, I won't name any currently, have this idea that they can provide mental health services and they will use a term called problem-focused therapy, which does not exist. That is not what therapy is. And so, like, exactly what you're saying of you can go to therapy with an idea of what you want to work on, and that might be your problem-focused thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole point of therapy is to heal multiple aspects of your life and have multiple things that you are looking into. And so that is very disheartening to me when institutions do that, especially institutions that literally fund mental health research.
Yeah.
Anyways, that was my two cents.
Thank you for that. And thank you to everyone who submitted and helped to make this episode possible. That was
we couldn't do it without
a little
you.
Bit of a last minute thing because we were both traveling. We do have some quick homework for you all this week. And that is just that if you have a stigma, if you find yourself having a stigma against therapy or talking about therapy, we hope that this episode can shed some light on how normal going to therapy is and hearing about Halle and my experience with therapy as well as all these other listeners who submitted their experiences, both positive and negative. Can kind of just help you, you know, recognize that therapy isn't always easy, but also that lots of people are or have experience with therapy, and it doesn't need to be such a shameful thing that sometimes society tells us it is.
This gosh darn society.
If you're listening to Therapy Hour, then I feel like you've done some good work to unpack that, though.
Well, I hope so. I hope also that maybe in listening to Therapy Hour and maybe our experiences in past episodes versus
well just in general, like clicking on a show called Therapy Hour, you know what I mean?
Maybe they thought that it was just a hoax.
Why would they think that?
I don't know, we're pretty sneaky.
This has been your free therapy session for this week. We're your hosts. I'm Violet.
And I'm Halle, and this is Therapy Hour, because everyone needs therapy
but not everyone can afford it. Be sure to tune in again in next week. Oh my gosh, I'm like so rusty this week. It's next, so bad.
It's okay.
Tune in next week and also in 2 weeks, but
and 3 weeks
and 4 weeks.
And then I don't know.
And then who knows what happens after 5 weeks. Tune in next week when we'll be talking about sexual scripts, which I'm actually so excited for.
I'm sexually excited for.
All right. Well, that's a personal issue. We'll see you next week.
We love you.